Now, today we're going to be talking about freedom. Let me hear you say freedom. And we celebrate Memorial Day because there are a group of men and women throughout history, especially of this nation, that have paid the ultimate price so that we might enjoy the freedom that you are sitting in right now. Like, I am not worried about the Gestapo barging in through those doors and telling us to stop worshiping the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be carried off in the back of a police car because I'm preaching the name of Jesus. You're not going to be threatened by the government to stop worshiping him because we live in a country who has a constitution and has a level of freedom that nobody else in this planet actually has. And so it's something for us to celebrate those who have paid the ultimate price for us, going back to the Revolutionary War, going back into the Civil War for those who actually fought for the freedom of an entire race of people, and those who have fought throughout, whether it was in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and in current wars, Vietnam, Korea, World War I, World War II. I mean, there are so many that fought not just for our freedom, but for the freedom of others, and they did it sometimes in a thankless position. Not that they were looking for thanks, because a true hero doesn't look for thanks. They just lay their life down willingly for the one that they love. And so we're going to give thanks, though, to you. And so right now, if you're currently a veteran, and I know this is not Veterans Day, but I want you to stand. If you're currently a veteran, would you stand up for me? You've served in the past. You're currently serving. Now, here's another thing. Hold your applause real quick. If you are a loved one, someone who gave their life in defense of this country, would you also stand up right now? I know we've got a few in here. Okay. Now, why don't y'all just go ahead and clap? We just honor you. We honor you. So if you're around them, go ahead, stay standing up. We're going to lay hands on you right where you're at. Stay standing for me. If you're around these amazing heroes, would you just go ahead and put your hand on them? And we're just going to pray a blessing over them right now. Because do you know that honor releases inheritance? And that the level, it says, if you honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive their reward. I'm telling you, if you honor the freedom and the sacrifice of these individuals, you receive a level of freedom that goes deeper than what you're currently walking in. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for these warriors. We thank you, Lord, for these who have paid with their life to be able to go and serve, who are serving currently, Lord. We thank you for those who have gone home with you, who paid the price. And we just declare a protection over them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing over them now. Those that saw things that no human should ever see, but they saw it. And in the name of Jesus, I declare freedom rings and reigns over their hearts, over their minds, over their emotions right now in the name of Jesus, over their memories in the name of Jesus. I declare freedom, the cleansing power, the blood of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus speaks a greater word. PTSD, I tell you to bow at the name of Jesus right now. You've been paid for so you can be put in prison and obliterated. And so we just speak life over this amazing group. And Lord, prophetically, as we're laying hands on them, there's so many who aren't here right now. There's homeless veterans right now. There's others, those who have been in those places, and they're still in the middle of grief. And so as we lay hands on these before us now, we were prophetically laying hands on those who aren't even here right now, and that there's healing being released to them right now. Just an encounter of the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of God that brings freedom. And we just declare this in your mighty name, and all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Yes. God is good. Yeah, all the time he is good. That's amen. That's good. I grew up Catholic, and I enjoy my upbringing, but I enjoy eating from different tables and sayings and traditions and stuff like that. So that's one of my favorite ones that I came into the Protestant world of God is good all the time, God is good. I love it. It's a declaration we need to be saying all the time, because what's going to happen a lot of times is the enemy's going to try to overwhelm you with things that are not good. He's going to try to overwhelm your spirit. He's going to try to overwhelm your soul. He's going to try to overwhelm your body with things that are not good so that he can keep you from walking in the freedom that Jesus bought for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this, and I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation and also in the NIV. But in the Passion, it says this: let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. What a powerful verse. Here's what it says in NIV. It was for freedom. Let me hear you say, it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. I know he says us, but I just make that declaration over me. It says, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. So if God wants to show up in freedom, who are we to tell him you can't come and bring freedom? If you're walking this morning, and remember, no shame, no guilt, no condemnation at all, but I want to tell you what this morning's message is supposed to be, and I heard it described this week, a word impartation for you. Like you're going to have something imparted to you as you hear the word of God, as you hear the words of freedom, and it's going to challenge you, and I hope it challenges you deep within your spirit, deep within your soul, to examine yourself. David says, search within me, examine me, anything that doesn't please you, O God. So often we look to sin and say, is that please God or not please God? And that might be true. We need to look within us. Is there any sinful way that we're living or we're thinking? But here's another way that is searched within me, O God. Is there any area of my life that I have not thought like you thought? Or I have not felt like you felt? Or I don't live like you live, Jesus? Is there any area of my life that is not underneath the kingdom influence? Search within me any area, God, that is not congruent. Papa Jack said it. He prayed a dangerous prayer years ago. Said, Lord, anything that what you and I currently do not see eye to eye on, bring me into agreement with you. And what I'm telling you this morning is I believe that we as a house here are positioned to bring freedom to the city, to the nation, and to the world at large. And let me say this. The Great Commission was go disciple nations. Remember you say disciple nations. When you dive into the actual word, the way the language was written in the Greek, it's talking about disciple nations. So let me say this. There's a lot of worry and concern about in the United States today. And I'm telling you, I love being an American. I love it. My highest allegiance is not to America. It's to the kingdom of God. But because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, I'm called to disciple the nations, which includes America. See, the enemy wants to come in, he wants to bring division, and he wants to pit people back and forth, offenses against offenses, and hurts against hurts, and all this different stuff, and whether that was the NFL and the kneeling that took place, or Black Lives Matter and some of the things that happened in there, it's like, let's stop pitting one another together. Let's become kingdom citizens so that we can disciple a nation of what it looks like to walk in complete and full freedom. Because it says, in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew. That's racial. Religious. There's neither male nor female. That's gender. All are what? One in Christ Jesus. We are to disciple our nation into what it looks like to operate and walk in the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. That when the kingdom comes and his will is being done, it's going to show up and it's going to look like you guys. You know why? Look around each other right now. I want you to look around. You're a beautiful color palette. You are. This is not black and white. Like it's not absence of color. You're all colored. You're all a beautiful color together in the image of God. This is what it should look like. So when people come in here and they're dealing with the crap out there, they experience in your life what freedom looks like, and you disciple them to walk in the fullness. If it was for freedom that Christ set us free, how dare we live in bondage? How dare we let anything stand in the place of freedom inside of our hearts, freedom inside of our minds, freedom amongst our relationships? It's time that the church takes her rightful place in a discipleship of nations, because it says kings will come to the rising of your light. Nobody lights up a lamp and puts it and hides it. You put it up so everyone can see it. You're supposed to be the light of the world. You're supposed to shine bright. Rise and shine. It doesn't say rise and reflect. Rise and shine. It's time for us to walk in freedom. I wasn't meaning to go where I just went, but God wants to go where he went. He wants to bring racial unity. One people, one tribe, one nation under God. And that's not talking about America, y'all. We're a kingdom of what? Priests. God's very own possession. Right? One nation under him. So that why? We can walk into America and disciple America. Forget nationalism. How about kingdom nation? And then what ends up happening is America becomes exactly who she's been since its founding. Do you understand the level of freedom that we have in the United States is unprecedented in human history? I've read through Scripture. The only place in Scripture that I can find that freedom ruled at the level that it rules in America is back when Solomon was ruling, before he kind of went off and married 10,000 pagan women, right? And he just went into the weeds. Can we all agree that Solomon didn't finish well, right? He kind of got off track. But there's this moment in time, it says, through his father David, territory was added to Israel through war. But under Solomon, it was added under peace. And it says this level of peace broke out over the nation of Israel that influenced the entire known world at that time. So much so that Queen Sheba came and goes, what is going on in this place? Read the scripture. It's amazing. Queen of Sheba sits down at Solomon's table and she goes, the way that your servant set the table, surely there's a God in heaven. She wasn't impressed with his treasury. She wasn't impressed even with his wisdom. She was impressed with that there was this level of kingdom anointing, kingdom bringing together, kingdom peace, that the culture and the mundane things reflected the kingdom of heaven, that she goes, surely there's a God in heaven because you set the table with such excellence. That should be said about us. And the mundane should be a demonstration. Last Sunday in worship, we saw a breakthrough omnipresence turn into manifest presence of God in this place. And it was incredibly wonderful. And this is something that should be an ongoing basis in your devotional life at home. But this is meant for us to transform a nation, not just in the crazy supernatural breakthroughs, but in the mundane things that the supernatural would break through so that people go, man, the way that you change your tire or the way you filled up gas in your car, surely there's a God in heaven. You're like, I didn't do anything. Hit a button and put it in. But what do they see? They see the glory and the presence of God on you so much. They see the love of God in you so much that you don't have to say a single thing. They're attracted to you because you're lighting up the world around you. You're rising and shining. The only thing that will keep you from doing that is if you go back into bondage. Let me reread that Passion Translation again. Let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free. Not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish. Let me hear you say cherish. This truth and stubbornly. Let me hear you say stubbornly. Refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. There's something about cherishing this truth. It's gratitude. It's saying, man, love is my highest goal. I'm seeking first the kingdom above all else and his righteousness. And I'm going to cherish the truth that I've been set free in Christ Jesus. And I will be stubborn about going back to Egypt. People are going to try to convince you, wasn't it easier back in Egypt? There was water, there was food that didn't fall out of the sky. Wasn't it easier? They're going to make Egypt sound so much more attractive. And what the Lord is saying, stubbornly refuse to go back into your bondage. Don't go back. He set you free. It was for freedom. He set you free. Now walk in the fullness of it. Do you want to know how you truly honor the men and the women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice to defend this country? You live fully in freedom. You cherish the freedom that you've been handed through the sacrifice of other people. You cherish, and I'm going to say this, you cherish the Constitution. Were they perfect men? No, neither are you and me. But we're being perfected. And they had their heart on this one thing, to create an atmosphere, to create a culture where men and women could be free. We must cherish that truth. And the way you honor that sacrifice is today I go out and I celebrate. I'm free. I've got free speech. I've got the right to be wrong. I've got the right to be right. I mean, like I can say whatever. I have this, and the police aren't going to show up and say, stop saying that. No, not politically. Has anybody turned on the news and looked at Argentina? Venezuela? How about did the elections go when Saddam was in power? in Iraq. Do you remember, I mean, how many of us were here? Maybe there's some that weren't, you weren't either born or you weren't really cognitive of what was going on. But do you remember when we set the Iraqis free? And do you remember seeing when Election Day happened, how many people in Cameron woke up and they're putting their thumb up and they had ink on their thumb? Why? Because they got the vote for the first time. And this wasn't just men, this was women. They cherished the freedom. They're like, yes, we have a freedom. Have we done all that stuff perfect? Absolutely not. I'm not talking about that. I am going back to the ideal, though, of what freedom looks like. Live fully free today. You've been given a gift from God in heaven. You economically, and I'm going to say this, if you've been going through difficulty, hear what I'm about to say in the right context. But you live in a country where you have more opportunity than the rich people do in some of the poorest countries in the world. Instead of going, oh Lord, this is so difficult. I've been through those moments. This is so difficult. Said, God, thank you that I live in this time, in this place. God picked this age for you to be born in. He didn't pick you to live in the 1800s. He didn't pick you to live in the next age. He lived you now. You were born in this age. So it's for the purposes of God. Romans 8:28, he works all things out for the good of those who are called to get what? According to his purposes, not your purposes. God has a purpose on his heart that he wants to carry. So if he planted you in your mother's womb when you were born, you were made for a time such as this. You were born for a time such as this, and you were made to live free so that you can arise and shine the brightness of the kingdom so that you can disciple nations. And whether that be the U.S., we've got friends who are in Nicaragua right now. We've been praying for them. They're going to come back for a little bit while the unrest is going, and they're going to go back in. We're praying for them. Catherine is in Mexico right now, and she's ministering there. We've got friends who are in Honduras. We've got friends who are in Iraq right now, and they're in the refugee camps, and they're ministering the gospel. They're discipling nations. This is our responsibility right now. We have friends who are in Costa Rica or about to go into Costa Rica in July. We have a responsibility to disciple nations, including this one. And the way you're going to disciple this nation is you first must know what it means to be free in your heart, in your soul. Let me read this out of Revelation chapter 5, verse 6 through 14. And it says, then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represented the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. Let me hear you say, every part of the earth. That means there's no part that God does not want to touch and impact. It says he stepped forward. I want you to hear that. Let me hear you say, Jesus stepped forward. For me. Do you get that? Jesus stepped forward when you needed freedom. I'm going to read the rest of the verse in a second. How do you honor the sacrifice of Jesus? Songs are nice. Prayer life is nice. Reading the Bible is nice. Going through discipleship, that's nice. Every single moment of your life, you live in the freedom that he bought for you. That's how you honor Jesus. If we can honor human sacrifice, how much more should we honor the sacrifice of him who purchased us by his own blood so that we could be free and we could have restored back to us that mandate? So it says he stepped forward, he took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. Let me hear you say the Father. So here you have a picture of the Father sitting on his throne. The Father puts out a scroll in his hand, and here comes Jesus stepping up. And it says, when he took the scroll, the four living beings and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense. Listen to this, which are the prayers of God's people. Do you think your prayers matter? Yes. These beings have nothing to bring to the throne of God if you don't pray. Nothing of themselves do they have to bring. They're carrying a bowl. Do you make a bowl for it just to sit empty? Or do you make a bowl for it to be filled and used? So God made this bowl in heaven, put it in the hands of these beings so they can be filled and brought to the altar of God. Let me read that verse again. Verse 8, when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each of them had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed." Let me say, your blood is ransomed. It says your blood is ransomed people for God. Let me say, for God. So Jesus didn't do it just for you. He did it for his Father. He did it for himself. You were ransomed for himself. He had a purpose and a plan. So when you were made for freedom, your freedom is not just for you. You didn't deserve your freedom in the first place. Neither did I. Stop treating it so lightly. Don't take it so uber serious that you take on striving and self-effort. But don't be so cavalier with the freedom that you've been given. You were made free for him, his purposes, his plans, his pleasure. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's bringing it for me. He paid the price. Let me read the scroll again, or the verse again. It says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered." Let me hear you say slaughtered. It wasn't a paper cut. This is the rated R version of the program. Can we all understand that? When Mel Gibson made The Passion of the Christ, it's brutal. It ought to be. This isn't paper cut Jesus who has one single drop of blood and he's yay, we're excited. No, he was slaughtered for you and me. He was beaten beyond recognition. If you had a picture of Jesus before the beating and then you see him afterwards, you would not have recognized him. If his mama didn't know his spirit, his mama wouldn't have recognized him. He was beaten so badly. Are we okay out there? A few of you are okay. It's okay. We're going to get to the part where freedom comes. It says, "You were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have caused them to become a kingdom." Let me say, you've caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God. Do you notice the every tongue, tribe, and nation? When Jesus was slaughtered, it was for the purpose of making all of us together a nation. Let me hear you say, a nation. Of priests. What's priests? It means I get to serve the Lord. I get to come before him. I get to worship him. I get to serve him. I serve his heart. And then I serve others from his heart. Don't ever say, well, it's only the man on the platform or the woman who's got the book deal that can serve God and be used by him. No, you were made to serve the Lord of God as a priest because you're part of a kingdom of priests, a nation for our God. I love America. I'm so grateful I live in this. The reason the gospel is propagated at the level it's been, especially over the last couple hundred years, is because of what God has done in the U.S. economically, and the level of freedom. Do you understand this aspect of freedom has become this prophetic word to the nations where they look to what the freedom is in America? Why do you think people are beating down our doors? Let's go ahead and take away the terrorists for a second, okay? There are people who are beating down our southern border and our northern border to get in. Why? Because the ideal of freedom that they didn't have where they came from. Now, don't hear me on this. I'm not giving a political opinion because that'd be a mess right now. Okay? So don't judge what my thoughts are on this. What I am saying is let's go to the higher realm. Let me hear you say kingdom thought. You got to have kingdom thoughts about this. You can't have natural thoughts. Seated with him in heavenly realms, you think from that position. Think differently afterwards. Think from a higher place. There's reason people are beaten down is because it represents the freedom. Let me tell you this, people should be beating your door down, demanding to know the freedom of Christ that you carry at the same level people were beaten down our southern border. Now, that's not a shame statement. That's just a statement of who you carry. The same spirit that rose God from the grave, the same spirit that lives inside of you. This is a statement. It's a kingdom thought. I should come to this place if I cherish the freedom that I have in Christ Jesus and I stubbornly refuse to go back into bondage, because here's why. If I go back into bondage, the people who are coming to me are just going to be in bondage longer. Instead of, no, come, I'm free, let me set you free. Remember Isaiah, the Messiah's verse, Jesus reads it, "For the Lord has anointed me to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to release the prisoners that are bound up, declare the favorable year of the Lord. He didn't come to bring judgment, he came to bring freedom. There will be a judgment day, but it ain't now. And it's not your ministry. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation, not judgment. But you have to, I'm going to say this, you have to judge your heart correctly, though. You have to look inside of yourself and say, when I read through the fruit of the Spirit, am I experiencing all the fullness of it? If the answer is no, no shame, no condemnation, you go, Lord, I repent because there's an area of my life that's not in alignment with your will. Help me think your way from now on. And then I begin to live out of the truth. I don't go back into bondage. Oh, gosh, I'm messing up. Well, I guess that's where I belong, back in Egypt. No. In the moment I have this revelation, the chains are broken, and I keep walking forward in what freedom looks like. I'm going to get through this revelation, I promise you. So I'm going to start back in verse 8 again. And I'm going to read it all the way through to verse 14. It says, when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Did you notice what that just said? Reign on the earth? It doesn't mean get in the bunker, wait for the apocalypse to happen, write it out. It said reign on the earth. You will never reign in kingdom if you're afraid, if you're angry. If you hold bitterness, if you hold unforgiveness, you're in bondage. You can never reign because something's reigning over you that was not God. But the way you operate in freedom is you allow Him to reign over you so that all that reigns in your heart, remember what Galatians 5 says, it was for what? Christ set you free. What was that?
Freedom.
What was that?
Freedom.
So if it was for freedom that Christ set you free, that means when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, what are you doing? I'm experiencing a level of freedom that He designed me for so that within me, I now live free, I love freely, I forgive freely, I give compassion freely, I freely let go of anything that would put me back in bondage. It says, then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne of the living beings and the elders. If you're afraid of angels, well, you're going to have to cut out scratches of the Bible here. You have to understand, we're a supernatural church. We live in the supernatural. We operate in the supernatural. We live from the supernatural. Angels are there, and look what they're doing. He says, I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth. Let me hear you say on earth. And under the earth. Let me hear you say under the earth. And in the sea, let me hear you say, in the sea. Do you think he got everyone? It says, and they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. I like this quote. I heard it this week at one of our dear friends' graduation. Ben Franklin said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Ben Franklin was actually a deist. It means that he believed there was a supernatural God, he just didn't know who he was. But he understood that it takes freedom that operates underneath the rulership of a king above in order for freedom to rule and to reign. Otherwise, we become vicious and corrupt. Our Constitution was never written so that an immoral people could use it. We cry out, let us return to our Constitution. But our Constitution says, well, I think our prayers are aimed at the wrong thing. Let me tell you why. Because our prayers are aimed about the restoration of a document rather than a restoration of faith in the hearts of the people who must be transformed in order for that document to mean anything. Because that document can never rule the passions of a people. They will be trampled over. But when you have a people who are called by his name and they humble themselves and they repent of their sins and they come before him, he will hear your prayers and he will heal your land. And not just America, but Mexico, Canada, Latin America, Europe, Asia, even the scientists in Antarctica. You know, there's lost people in Antarctica. Every continent on the planet needs the salvation of Jesus. He's going to redeem it. But it causes you. You have to face this place where what am I doing? Am I a virtuous people? Am I capable of freedom? And the answer is yes. You were made for freedom. Now I'll just read you one more quote. John Adams. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And what I'm here to tell you is there's one government that binds everything together, and that's the government of our King. I'm a citizen not of a democracy or a republic. I'm a citizen of a theocracy. It's the kingdom of heaven. I rule and reign with him. You rule and reign with him because he's king over all, and you're a son and you're a daughter. But in that, I have to submit and surrender to who he is. We're wrapping up the Lordship series today so we can dive into some other things over the summer. And I want you to understand this is the level that you submit to the Lordship of Jesus will be the level of freedom that you will experience. John 8:30-36 says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide, let me hear you say, if you abide. Means if you live in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth and the what? The truth will set you free. I like the way it says in the New King James. It says it will actually make you. Let me hear you say make you. You know what making is? It'll shape you. You should be shaped by, you should be made by the truth of who God is. It says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? Now, does anybody miss the history of Israel when they say this? How asinine this is? They were in bondage to more people on planet Earth than any other people group. Whether that was Egypt or that was Babylon or the Assyrians, and the list goes on. And they're going, well, we've never been in bondage. And what I'm here to tell you this morning is don't say that you've never been in bondage. Examine yourself. Don't elevate your bondage, but look at it rightly so that it can compare and bring the blood of Jesus to speak to it. Look what it says. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in a slave. Let me try that again. Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son, let me hear you say, a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be freed indeed. Here's a revelation I had a few years ago before I moved into the power of the Holy Spirit. I grew up Catholic, and so we had Holy Ghost. It was the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We were at a church that, when we first got married, is a wonderful Bible church. It's amazing. The Word was taught. We grew up But nothing was ever talked about the Holy Spirit, good or bad. It was just indifferent. And we had a moment where we were running a single-parent ministry for about 3 years, had about 500 single-parent families that came through at different points. And this is when Kelly and I were 3 years married, maybe, had no kids. In fact, we were told we would never have kids. Now we got lots of them. It's awesome. And this woman came in, and she'd gone through a bitter divorce, and so she was very hurt and very wounded. But then she began to tell me this story about how she was type 1 diabetic. A couple years prior to this, she had been in Arizona or New Mexico, I can't remember which at the time, for a healing meeting. And she went up to be prayed for, and the minister said, well, you don't have enough faith because you're still taking your insulin. That's why you're not healed yet. So she went home, and she took it, and she didn't take her insulin, and she went into a coma. She came out of it very wounded, even more so, very upset. A couple years later, she comes into our ministry, and I just know how to love people. That's the thing I do. I just love people. And she begins to share her story. My heart was so moved with love for her and compassion because of abuse is what it was. And I went into bondage to a lie in that moment out of the motivation of love and compassion, but I allowed myself to come into bondage that says, that's not Jesus. So any healing, any move of the Holy Spirit, any of the charismatic stuff, any of that stuff, that's got to be from the devil. Guess what happened when we planted our church? And I'm reading the Bible, and one of the things I love that Robert Emmett gave to me as a pastor was, he'd always say little power statements, and one of them was, read the Bible, do what it says. So I had my magic marker, and I'm having to do this, because I could no longer read the Bible, do what it says, when it talked about healing and prophecy and the move of the Spirit and all these wonderful things. And we go to a conference up in Gateway Church in Southlake. I went grudgingly because my in-laws paid for the hotel. They paid for the conference. David was, 6 months old or so at the time, our youngest. And I said, man, this is probably one of those wackadoodle churches. But hey, we're getting a couple days away. No kids. This will be awesome. We'll go the first night out of honor. I know why he's having me share this with you, because there's somebody who's going to get set free from this religious spirit thing. So we go in, and the very first song, I hear the voice of God, the audible voice of God, JJ, why are you persecuting me? I know the Bible. Lord, how am I persecuting you? Well, you're very zealous, and I love you because I made you that way. But you became in bondage to a lie. And everything you've believed about me in regards to the Holy Spirit has been based off a lie of someone else. You never even experienced it, and you bought it hook, line, and sinker. And you want people to be free, but you're keeping them from the only one that will ever make them free, and that's me. Changed my life. I would say equal to the day that I gave my life to Christ, I saw more transformation happen after that moment when I was filled with the Spirit and began to realize it was for freedom that we were set free. The danger is when we take the experiences of somebody else or something we're not understanding or something we're not comfortable with, and we make an agreement with it. We make an agreement with circumstance. And I pray for that woman. I really pray that I'd have an encounter with her again to be able to say, I got it wrong. If I could tell you now, what I'd say is those people were probably doing the best they could, but they had a little out of whack. But God does want to heal you. It had nothing to do with your faith in regards to taking insulin. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to heal your body. Don't make an agreement about God based off the negativity or the abuse or misuse that other people propagate in. There's too many people that do that, and there's websites that are out there that spend their entire, as far as I've seen, life talking negatively about what God's doing and not talking positively about what he's doing in their life. It's the ministry of condemnation. It's not the ministry of reconciliation. I think he's going here for a reason, y'all. Last weekend, we saw a breakout. And somebody says, how do we continue that? How did we get here? In a conversation with somebody last week, we began to talk about what success looks like and the decisions that you have to make towards success, and we were talking about some different churches that had grown into mega churches, and this man had told me about a conversation he had with Papa Jack, and Papa Jack said, there's something funny that happens when you start out with ministry, you start off life, and you begin to minister in him, and you have a purity of your heart, and then success begins to happen. And in that success, you have to make decisions. And the trap is when you begin to make decisions out of success rather than making decisions out of what's got you there. And it says, and then success breeds success, and said, all of a sudden you've got even more success. And so your decision-making process moves so far away from how you got started. Now it's into how do I maintain the success that I have? And it has nothing to do with what got me here. And it becomes performance, and the Spirit can leave the building, and people be successful without him. You can walk in freedom of your own making. But what you have to do is come back to this moment that says, but he set me free. I was made for his image. I was made in his image. I was made for his pleasure. I was made for his purposes. He guides and directs my heart and my life. The decisions you begin to make always have to come back into, but seek first the kingdom. His righteousness, singular focused. So in my marriage, in the way I parent, the way I operate in business or school or any other place in the world, is all from this place of I continue to make decisions based off of seeking him first. So he wants to set you free this morning. And I'm not going to make an assumption. I love what Dan Muller said when he was here in July. He says, don't ever make an assumption that there's somebody in your room that is lying about being fully free. Oh, you must be lying. You've got to have some area of bondage. He says, don't prophesy over them. So go ahead and set your Bibles aside. I want you to close your eyes. I want to position your heart for him. I'm not going to make the assumption that everyone in here is in bondage to something. I hope that's not the case. If it is, we'll get you free. But if you find in this moment, you go, I remember what it was like in Egypt, but I am so glad I'm free. And you realize right now you can just rejoice. You can cherish the understanding that, hey, I am free in him. I can examine my heart, and I am so glad that I'm free in him. Just begin to rejoice in that right now. If that's you, just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I want to lead you in a prayer right now. For those who you're operating in a place of freedom already, I want to start here because I want to set the tone for what we're going after. And I want you to repeat after me, King Jesus, I was made for your freedom. You set me free. I want more freedom because I want more of you. I rejoice and the freedom you've bought me with, and the freedom you bought me for. Help me to disciple nations in freedom. Let your freedom rule. Let your freedom reign. Let it ring across the planet through my life. Nobody's looking but me. If you know right now that you're born again, you have no doubt in your mind, in your spirit, if you died right now, you would end up with him. Would you just raise your hand and say, I'm born again? That's good. All right, go ahead and put your hands down. Remember, nobody's looking but me. But you'd say right now, I'm born again, but I'm realizing there's some areas, whether it's one or more, where freedom has not ruled in my life. And the reality is I felt like I've been in bondage and I didn't know what to do about it. If that's you right now, would you just raise your hand? Yeah. It's beautiful. Go ahead and put your arms down. I'm going to model for you what it looks like so you can do it when you're out in the streets. Repeat after me, King Jesus, I recognize that it was for freedom that you set me free. But in this moment, I'm living less than free. I repent for ever going back into bondage after you set me free. Forgive me. But now, by the power of your blood, I declare I am free because you set me free. And when you set someone free, they're free. So I'm free in this moment. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit. Teach us to think differently. Teach us to walk in your grace. And I'm going to come back to this in a second, but I want to ask this question now. If there's anybody in this room, nobody looking but me, and you'd say, I've never been born again, but I want to be. I can't do this my way anymore. What do I need to do to be saved? If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. Okay, bud, I see you. Say, in the name of Jesus, in this moment, I surrender my life fully to you. You paid for every one of my sins so that I might be free. So that I may be made brand new. So I'm praying this prayer right now, only to confirm what you've already done inside of me. I'm saved, I'm healed, and I'm set free. In the name of Jesus, now and forever, all of eternity. Now stay in this place one more time. I feel like the Lord wants to do one more thing here. Couple deal. We dealt with the personal sin issue. But what about sins that were committed against you? And I just really had it in my quiet time this morning about PTSD. And not just from wartime, but from abuse and just different things that you've seen. And he showed me even too PTSD from pornography. Because it's really rerouted some things in your brain. And you were exposed to it, not because you wanted to be, but you were exposed to some things and it's caused traumatic. And here's what I'm here to tell you. Jesus didn't die just for the sins you committed, but the sins that others committed against you. So that means the impact that they've had on your life, when Jesus sets you free, it means you're set free from those things every bit as much as he set you free from the things that you did. But you got to let it go, and you have to receive from him in this moment the healing touch of heaven. So I'm going to ask you this moment, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. If that's you, I don't want you to just raise your hand, I want you to stand up and say, that's me. I've experienced the sins of others that have still impacted me. Yeah. Remember, nobody's looking but me. The only reason I'm looking is so I can gauge what he's doing. Yeah. Shabbat. What a beautiful thing. In the name of Jesus, I just speak life over these people. Things happened to them that were no fault of their own. They've impacted, they've left scars, they've made imprints. But I thank you that when you set us free even from those things. So in the name of Jesus, I pray over you, I declare over you, I go into the court of heaven and I hand down a judgment from the throne of heaven that says you have been set free from the influence, from the impact, from the generations maybe that came before you. your bloodline being cleansed to the generations coming after you. I free you now in the name of Jesus. Let freedom reign in your house. Let freedom reign in your heart right now. Never again will it be allowed to have influence over your mind, your will, your emotions, over your physical body. Right now in the name of Jesus, I just hear he's saying, whoa, unforgiveness and bitterness that came from this root and from this place. And he's saying, let it go in the name of Jesus. I want to heal you from right now, but you got to let it go. Unforgiveness now, boom, in the name of Jesus. I just hear him say, boom, there it goes. Physical ailments. I hear even arthritis that's being healed right now because it was rooted in trauma. Trauma, you go in the name of Jesus. Lord, so many times it was in the going that they were healed. You said to the lepers, go and reveal yourselves, or go show yourselves to the priest. And as it says, as they went, they were healed. I know the moment that these brave individuals stood up in the going, in the standing up, they were healed in that moment. May our prayer be what the prayer of the Moravians were all those years ago. May the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering. Right now, redeemed lives, whole in freedom, new ways of thinking, new ways of believing, new ways of feeling. And I just declare, I see right now a rewriting of computer code. It's like the Matrix. It's coming down, but there's an overriding of the code. And what it is, it's the neural pathways inside of your brain. Even though there's somebody you're watching online, or you're going to be watching even a year from now on the stream. And I just, your brain's being rewritten right now. The neural pathways are being made brand new in the name of Jesus. We rejoice in you, King Jesus, right now. Now I want to ask everyone to stand up together. So we can... There's one more thing we're supposed to pray for. I hear it very clearly. Word curses. Your tongue is powerful. Power of life and death is in your tongue. And I get that there's been some abuse and misuse of that. But there's power in your tongue. And so collectively, I just want to pray a prayer. King Jesus. Not everyone together. King Jesus. We repent for ever speaking a curse against ourselves, against others, against our nation, or the nations of the world. We bring our life, we bring our heart, and we bring our tongue into alignment with the kingdom of heaven. We remove the curse, and we declare that your blood speaks a better word. Yeah, right now in the name of Jesus, we just say, come, Holy Spirit. There's physical healing. There's going to be those, even as you leave, there's going to be a change in your body. There's going to be a change in the way you think. And you're not going to be able to come back to the place you were before you walked into the service today, because he set you free. I'm going to read that verse one more time over us. Let me be clear, the anointed one Jesus has set you free. Not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. So you must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of your past. And we just say, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Somebody give him a shout of praise.